I think we can start. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are audible.
Thank you so much. I would want to welcome everybody to this meeting. It's 9 o'clock already. May I start with this remark that yesterday the Secretariat sent a communication in relation to the revision on the agenda. This is occasioned by the fact that the chairperson of the committee will not be joining us today, but that in terms of Rule 159 of the National Assembly, in the event that the chairperson of the committee is not available, a process has to be put in place wherein we elect the presiding officer for the occasion. So we're going to start with this process where we are going to elect the chairperson for the day. So I'm going to lay down the procedure that is going to be followed, ladies and honorable members and colleagues. We are going to call on for the nomination from members of the committee, and thereafter, after nominations, then we'll ask the individual if they stand for the nomination, they accept the nomination, and therefore we'll proceed with the acceptance and the voting on, not the voting, but the processing of the final presiding officer for the day. May I therefore call on for nomination from the floor on who the chairperson for the day would be. I'm opening it.
Chairperson, I'm Amvrim Memezo, want to speak?
Yes, you're welcome, Amvrim Memezo, you can nominate.
Thank you very much, our acting chairperson. I stand to nominate our honorable member, Xolisile Qayiso.
The name of honorable Xolisile Qayiso has been suggested. May I find out from Honorable Qayiso, are you available for the position if I call for any other nomination?
Yes, I'm available, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Qayiso. May I call for any other nomination, any other name?
Honorable Matapa, can I come in?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. Just for completeness, I'm seconding the name of Honorable Qayiso, and I'm very pleased that he is available. And I'll move to close nominations. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome, Honorable Matafa. The second man.
I've got closing of motion here, Honorable Matafa.
Aye. We are closing. We are closing nomination. It's a Friday.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable. There's a second man for the name of Honorable Xolisile Qayiso. So if there's no other nomination, then I would say that we close the nomination. Is there any other name except for this one? In the absence of any, I believe that we agree on the nomination of Honorable Qayiso. May I take this opportunity then to hand over to our presiding chairperson for the day, Honorable Qayiso. You're most welcome, sir.
Good morning, honorable members, and let me thank you for giving me this opportunity to guide this meeting. Welcome this meeting this morning, and to welcome the Minister of the DPME joining us and your team. I hope you. In fact, it has been long that we've been struggling to find a suitable date to meet with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. The last time that I remember that the committee met, it was when last we discussed, we received a research report that was indicating that a number of there is an indication that due to inequality, a number of some of our people have become shorter. So it was a quite interesting research that we once received during that interaction, which I believe by this time we will be able to be informed of a very different development. So in saying that, would like to welcome you all, and hopefully you enjoy our interaction with this committee that we meet today. I hope that we are prepared. So before I start moving forward, can I check, are there any apologies, Mr. Mulvaney?
Yes, Honorable Chair, we've got an apology from the chairperson, Honorable Buthelezi, is on a bereavement leave, so he won't be joining us, hence the revision of the agenda. And secondly, we've got an apology from Honorable Marae. He is with us at the moment, but he'll be out for an hour from 10:30 to 11:30. Then he will rejoin the meeting at a later stage. These are the apologies that we have received up to this far. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Mogwan. Can I check? Yes, there might be... glitches of technology, connection due to load shedding. Take note of that as we proceed with our meeting. Can I then check, is the minister around Mr. Morgan?
Well, I haven't got an indication, but I've seen officials from the department. Unless they are in, they can indicate.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Pinky Kekana, Deputy Minister for DPME. The minister is in cabinet now, so I'll be leading the team of DPME. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Deputy Minister Kekana, you are most welcome. So let me explain, honorable members, that we are going to offer the DPME an amount of 40 minutes to make a presentation. I think it will be sufficient so that members have sufficient time to engage on it. What I'm going to do, Deputy Minister, I'm going to let your team to make a presentation, and then thereafter you will then take over in terms of who do you want to give to speak on the presentation up until they finish, and then you will hand over to me the reins so that I proceed with the meeting. And then members will interact with the presentation which has been made. So let me then give it back to you, and then we'll meet after the presentation has been made. After yes, Honorable Humphrey.
Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson. Sorry to disturb your process. To ensure that our meeting do things the right way, I think we forgot to approve the apologies. I'm proposing that we approve them, both the chairperson's one and the 1 hour for our Honorable Marae. Thank you, chairperson.
Okay. No, thank you very much for that correction. Honorable Humphrey, may the committee then pronounce itself on the submitted apologies. Okay. No, I think in the absence
Chairperson, let's take the apologies. Let's take the apologies that submitted and move on, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Nanzana. I think those apologies have been accepted.
Chair?
Now,
Chairperson.
Who's that? Honorable Tandy?
Yeah, I've been having my hand up. Somebody must monitor the chat. I just want to make an indication. I'm in the Cape Town house, so I might experience glitches as the network in Wynberg is very bad. So if it happens at some point, it will be the case. And also the problem of load shedding that's coming now and then. That's just what I wanted to say. I'm in the place where you always struggle to hear me.
Okay. Noted, okay. Honorable Tullius. Honorable Sanguin.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think we shouldn't start a new trend or tendency, Chair. I think members are entitled to send their apologies because as members of Parliament, we have a wide range of responsibilities. So if we're going to use this platform to sort of accept or reject apologies, because today we are putting an item on the agenda and saying we are accepting apologies. Tomorrow we are going to reject apologies. So I think we shouldn't start with a trend like that. It's definitely a new trend. It was never done. And I think we shouldn't start with it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable members, let me then take this opportunity and invite Deputy Minister Pinky Kekana to lead us on the presentation and therefore take control on the members who are going to, officials who are going to present. Honourable Kekana, Deputy Minister. DM?
Looks like she was out of the meeting, but I've admitted her. You can. Thank you very much.
Is he in now?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee or Standing Committee on Appropriation. I think this is the second engagement that the DPME has been asked since the last time by the committee to appraise it on progress we are making in meeting the target of the NDP using the medium-term strategic framework, but also the impact on our monitoring and evaluation in as far as service delivery is concerned, including appraising the committee on how we are faring on citizens when we do citizen engagement and how we are able to monitor performance of departments as per their APPs. I've heard you very clear, Chair, that you are expecting us to make all these presentations within 40 minutes. I would appeal to the DG and all the DDGs that we speak to the documents, and I think we'll await the questions that members would be posing. So we've got quite a few responses on the questions that the members asked, and I hope the documents were received on time. So if you allow me, Chair, let me allow DG to lead in this regard and then have all our DDG lined up to respond to some of the things and the questions that members raised. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members, DM Kekan, and colleagues in the meeting. Thanks for giving us this opportunity to present. We always value coming to this committee. Now, Chairperson, I need to indicate that we have prepared with the understanding that we have 3 hours for this meeting. So the presentations were timed for that. But if we can, we have to do it in a shorter period, then we'll have to do that. So I just wanted to first confirm if that is still the case. I know you have already made a point that we have 40 minutes to do all the presentations. There were 6 questions that were sent to us, and the presentations are in terms of those questions. I just want to be sure, Chair, that we're sticking to the 40 minutes for presentation.
Yes, the meeting process started from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. So maybe it could have been a misunderstanding from the side of the department. But we normally set the timelines, how long should the presentation go, because our members must digest the input and then be able to can participate in the meeting, be given sufficient time to interrogate the presentation. So it could be the longest presentation if we can allow 3 hours. So then the 40 minutes is such that it's our standard practice, but we will check where there are shortcomings, but preferably want members to engage sufficiently. That's why we give 40 minutes. So it is 40 minutes, Mr. Nkuna.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, for the guidance. I'll then ask colleagues to assist me with the presentation on question one. Will you please? Will you also, Secretariat, please assist me?
Yes, I'm loading the presentation, Honourable Member, just now.
Okay, no, thank you, Chair. This part of our presentation deals with the first question. And I will quickly run it through. No, this is not question one. The question one is on the MTSF performance. Please go to question one. And because I'll be running through the presentations, I'll ask that you prepare all the presentation so that we can go from one presentation to another. I'm looking for question one presentation. Chair, with your permission, I'll ask Dr. Grissel to just run through this one. Please, Dr. Grissel.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and DG. I will then present on this, which is the quarter one performance report as per the request from the committee. If we can go to, we'll cover just the overall statistics for the national departments, but also the constitutional institutions and government components. We can go into the next slide. Okay. Are we able to move to the next slide?
Dr. Grissel, may I request you to take over the presentation so that you can project on your side?
That's fine. No, if they are able to unshare, then I can certainly share. Okay.
Yes, you've been made the co-host, Dr. Grizzo. You can continue.
All right. Is it visible?
Yeah, it's clear. It's visible.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me go straight into the presentation. So just by way of introduction and background, we know that performance information plays a very important role in planning for development and in measuring the priorities of government, including service delivery, value for money, and so on. There are legal requirements in terms of the reporting on the APP targets, in terms of the production of the quarterly performance reports as per the Treasury regulations. The quarterly performance reporting system tracks delivery against national and provincial annual performance plans over a 3-month period, but also to substantiate and communicate achievements. DPME developed an electronic quarterly performance reporting system, which is an online system, which is applicable to national, provincial departments, constitutional institutions, government components, as well as 3A and 3C public entities. We have done an assessment of the first quarter performance of national departments against the first quarter targets of the tabled APPs. We will look at positive progress, but also instances where there are performance challenges. And just to indicate that this is the reporting as per the department. So the departments report on the EQPRS, and this is a summary of that. So in terms of the overall summary, this is the number of institutions that submitted as per the timeframes was 50, of which 35 are departments. There were some that submitted outside of the timeframes. And then the Commission for Gender Equality is the only institution that did not submit. In terms of the overall summary of performance, 6 departments achieved under 50%. 32 departments achieved over 50 and less than 100%. And then 7 national institutions. to job creation, given the critical unemployment crisis that we face in the country. And this, so the department did include an indicator on the number of jobs to be enabled through the issuing of mining rights. And we see that that remains an area of concern. And then even in the area of small business development, the Business Amendment Bill, public consultations have not yet taken place. And that's obviously a critical issue as well, given that Parliament is likely to rise early, and it looks like the bill may not get through in the current term of office if we are looking at the current progress. There's also issues around the value of exports in manufacturing, where we saw that the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition indicated that the export data from SARS is not yet available. We would advise that we will advise the department that they should not set targets where the data is not yet available. When it comes to the JISCIT cluster, here again we see a number of departments at the center of government, and we see various levels of performance. We of the view that JISCIT being center of government departments coordination generally does have should have a greater degree of control over the achievement of their targets compared to perhaps the departments which deliver services directly and may be more subject to environmental factors. So for example, here we see DPME itself is here with a achievement of 93.8% of targets, and the Statistics South Africa would have a 96.0%. We then also go into some of the targets and the reasons for deviation. I'll just pick again a few. The Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs correctly has included an indicator on the procurement spend through entities owned by persons with disabilities. We also have that requirement in relation to women-owned and enterprises, as well as enterprises owned by young people. We feel that procurement is an important instrument in actually addressing an economy which is currently not inclusive. But they've indicated that the central supplier database does not have functionality in relation to suppliers owned by persons with disabilities. So that's clearly something that we need to address as government, because we can't at this stage in our democracy still have a lack of information in that regard. We see here also under traditional affairs, the number of traditional mining communities that provide procurement bursaries and so on. And the reason given here is that the department has not been able to meet with DMRE. Now, we feel that that's really not an adequate reason for a deviation, that you couldn't have had a meeting. So, those are also issues where we need to improve on the quality of reporting, and, not being able to have a meeting, in our view, is not an adequate reason for deviating from a target of this nature. The issue of the approved public service human capital strategy by DPSA, there has been a lot of progress made in that regard, but it needs to be finalized, submitted for approval in the current quarter, the second quarter. When it comes to ICTS, there we have the overview of the achievement by the three departments in that cluster. And we see that DERCO has achieved 100%, which should be welcomed. But we must also just say that we are working very closely with departments to ensure that they desist from using targets that do not really reflect performance. So we would rather departments have results-based indicators and targets and achieve 80% than to have targets that are not results-based, such as a report, and achieve 100%. So that's something which we are working on. I'm going to skip here, except for the DFFE, where the target was set around air quality monitoring stations, and we see that they have been affected by load shedding as well, and they are in the process of procuring power backup systems. This is the overview for JCPS. This is the one of the clusters that has achieved lower levels of performance. And we see particularly the Civilian Secretariat, Home Affairs, and IPED in particular have achieved low levels of performance, pointing to the need for further intervention. Okay, this seems to, there we go. And then this, we also then run through some of the key areas of non-performance that have been outlined. Again, because of time, I'm not going to go through that. The SPCHD achievement, again, we have Department of Basic Education has achieved 100%. Department of Military Veterans is a serious concern, and clearly there's a need for intervention there to better understand why they've only achieved 11% on their targets. So that's something which DPME would need to take further. And then we look at the various reasons for underperformance. The next slides then touch on the constitutional institutions and government components. We'll see that, again, the CGE has not reported. Most of the other institutions have performed well against their targets, with a couple of them also getting 100%. Areas of non-performance are outlined here. And then here we look at government components. Again, there are some that have achieved 100%. And we outlined some of the critical areas of non-performance. We then also touched on job creation indicators and looked at the various achievements against target set, and we do welcome the fact that a number of departments did indeed include this in their APPs. So DELRAD with the NARISEC program, the Community Works program has performed fairly well. It's a significant number of participants. Now, the Department of Human Settlement, this is an example of the kinds of indicators that we don't want to see in APPs, because it says number of reports. And it's not just a report on job creation, it's a report on monitoring job creation opportunities created. So we heavily discourage departments from setting a target of this nature. We would much rather the departments say the number of job opportunities created, so that then both the oversight ourselves as DPME, but also the other oversight bodies can assess the extent to which they are contributing to job creation. And there's the DMRE job creation target. And we see there that there was underperformance given the, again, the issue of not having issued sufficient mining rights. And we know that that is an area of obstacles. Public works and infrastructure, again, inappropriate indicator that is not measuring the jobs created through the EPWP, but rather the number of progress reports. Tourism correctly has indicated the number of young people, unemployed young people that are trained on safe tourism operations. So that is important. Science and innovation, small numbers, but these are also experimental. So we are assuming that where there has been success, then these can be replicated or expanded. And then the Department of Water and Sanitation has also indicated the job opportunities created through their infrastructure projects. Transport, similarly, has indicated jobs created through the PRASA infrastructure programs. And then DCS has indicated that they have performed 164 economic opportunities for parolees and probationers. So in conclusion, of the 39 national departments, a total of 19 achieved above 80% of their targets and two achieved 100%. We are also going to be engaging with the national DGs through FOSAD, as well as on a bilateral basis where there are particular concerns. We'll continue to provide support to national departments. We have also been reminding departments this is the last year of the current electoral cycle, but we do, and we have provided guidance now to departments who are planning for 2024-25, but there are indications that the fiscal constraints, including the recent National Treasury directive, may impact further on the achievement of targets. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Please, we assist me with the question one presentation, because if I do that, I will also attempt to cover for the rest of the presentation.
All right, the doctor can continue with the presentation. She's got the rights.
Okay, please assist me with the next presentation. Question one.
We would like the DG to now present on the other presentations. So you can remove my rights.
Hello. The slide number one.
Yes, presentation number one. The one on the MTSF and the NDP. Unfortunately, I'm not at the office. I'm here in Durban using my phone. So I'm asking for assistance to quickly go through that presentation.
Okay. Let me load it now here from this side. Looks like I've got a problem trying to get it, but I will load it. If there's anyone on the other side who has it ready, then I can give them the right to present it, to flight it on their side, but I'm just looking for it.
Yes, I've arranged with Bui Manyandela to do the presentations, to assist me with the presentation.
Yes, so it's Bui. Okay, let me just give her the right as well. Yes, I've made it a ghost. Yes, she's in. Hi, we.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll go very quick on this part of the presentation. And as I've indicated, as I talk to the issues, I'll also cover for the other presentation. So I'll not necessarily have to do everything. Let's move on to slide number three. This is the outline of the presentation. Now, Chair, what we're presenting here is progress that we're making towards the implementation of the MTSF and by extension, the National Development Plan. I must concede that the presentation is high level because we're also trying to align with the time, but if we're required to provide further details, we'll do so. Let's move on. Now, the first area deals with what we call the priority one on a capable, ethical and developmental state. Chair, I need to indicate that we present this graph because what we have realized is that everything that we are doing as a government depends on the capacity of the state. And I'll spend a great deal of time just speaking on the capacity of the state. So the capacity of the state is at the center of everything that we do. And if we don't succeed in building the capacity of the state, we're not likely to achieve the other results. Let's move on to six. Now, we have looked at some of the challenges that we face as government. So these are persisting challenges that were raised even in the previous meeting. And I'm sorry to indicate, Chairperson, that we have not improved as much as we'd have wanted with respect to targets in this area. One is that we are still faced with inefficiencies that have hampered progress. We saw a case in point in the previous presentation on public works. We have challenges linked to vertical integration in particular, and this is being attended to with the review of the IGR Act. And 2 weeks ago, there was also a presentation in a meeting of the Presidential Coordinating Committee, which included the premiers and some of the mayors. So the recent attempt to escalate to that high level to ensure that we unlock some of the binding constraints that pertain to poor coordination of the different spheres of government. The issue of instability at the top administrative leadership is still a very big challenge, you know, at the provincial and national levels. And lately, we also saw last week that entities are faced with the same challenges. Then the implementation of the previous cabinet decisions emanating from our recommendations have not moved as fast as they should. We continue to track them. Some may be due to legislative and regulatory issues, as it takes time for us to change course by amending laws and regulations whenever we want to improve performance. There are also financial aspects to the challenges. Very quickly, in terms of what DPMA has been doing, we're focused on strengthening the performance management system of ministers and HODs, and I need to indicate that both of them are up to date currently. We've also been playing a significant role in disaster management, going beyond monitoring to assist the NDMC, the National Disaster Management Center, and the Department of Cooperative Governance, as well as some of the provinces. We monitor the implementation of the State of the Nation address. We are doing a lot of work in anti-corruption, and very quickly I can indicate that we have assisted the president to prepare the response to the findings of the Zondo Commission. We also have a team that is working on the implementation of the recommendations of the SIU, and I think in the next engagement we can go into some details. Last week, led by the DM in Mpiki Kekan, we had a forum with a number of state-owned companies or entities broadly, and we are tracking performance in that area. We can share the report with the committee. Integrated government planning is what we do on a regular basis. And as Dr. Grissel has indicated, Chair, we receive the draft APPs from departments. We make comments and send them to department. And unfortunately, after we've done that, when the APPs are sent to Parliament, we don't see the final product because ministers have to sign. So that's one loop that we are trying to close, and we have raised this matter with our portfolio committee. Let's see next, eight. So overall, Chair, we have challenges pertaining to the capacity of the state, and we have some detailed presentations when it comes to local government, which has remained, you know, one of the big challenges. You can see that we're seeing that 64 municipalities have been categorized as dysfunctional. Another 163 municipalities are said to be financially distressed. Now, what we have been trying to do, Chair, is to assess why is it that the previous interventions have failed. So we have been involved in quite a number of engagements to do that assessment. And that includes our engagement with the Demarcation Board, our extensive engagement with SALGA, Cooperative Governance, and our request that if necessary, we come back to the Committee on Local Government specifically so that we can account for all the work that we are doing to assist local government. But one issue to indicate here on local government is that we discovered that there is no coordination of interventions between the Department of Cooperative Governance and National Treasury, and we are assisting with some intervention to ensure that is attended to. Let's move on to the next area? Slide 8. Okay, these are some of the issues that we are grappling with when it comes to basic services. There is progress in electrification, one should say, besides the challenges of load shedding. But one area where we see serious challenges is that many municipalities are no longer viable as a result of load shedding and the non-payment of services. So we have to attend to this. There is also a challenge in the water sector, and that's mainly due to the failure of the municipalities to pay the water boards. And we are engaging on this issue. We can provide some detailed assessment of how we are dealing with the challenge. Let's move on. So we do make a recommendations here, and as I've indicated, we focus on the work that is being done by some departments in the main. I've mentioned it, COGTA and National Treasury. And we make recommendations direct to the departments, but also to cabinet for interventions. We also facilitate discussions in the clusters. So where you have transversal issues, you can get a number of departments to be involved in the resolution of such challenges. So overall, that is what we are faced with, and one can go into details. Let's move quickly to the economy, priority two. In priority two, there are challenges that all of us know about, that the economy has not been growing as it should be. And what DPME has done recently is to evaluate the economic reconstruction and recovery program of government. We have a report that we have syndicated with various institutions, including the economic cluster. So there's a lot of detail in terms of what we have seen as reasons for the failure of the economy, and we can share details on that. Let's move on to priority three. Just go straight to priority three because I think our 40 minutes have already elapsed. This one is on basic education and skills. I can raise two issues in this area. Our expectation was that more students will go to TVETs than to universities, but that has not been happening, you know, because of the quality of TVETs. We have made recommendations on how we can improve the quality of TVETs so that we can get as many learners as it is possible going to TVETs. Now, there are still many young people, Chair, who are not at school, who are not at work, and we are not able as a country to account for them in terms of the of them having incomes. So that is a matter that needs urgent attention. We have also looked at through a pass and found that a lot of work may still need to be done. So the number of young people who start at SAF-A and those who exit at matric, you'll find that the numbers do not tally, so we need to do quite a lot. But we need to indicate that there has been some improvement in terms of access in this particular area. Let's move on. Let's go to health. Chair, one issue around health is that of medico-legal claims. What we see is that practically all provinces are facing challenges of medico-legal claims, so to an extent that if we were to pay the current liabilities, we will not have money to run the services. So it's a big issue, and DPME has been intervening in this area, brought on board the Solicitor General in the Department of Justice to assist. So that is one thing that we are doing here. And lately, we've been focusing on preparations for the implementation of the NHI, the National Health Insurance, to an extent that we've facilitated quite a number of meetings that bring together a number of stakeholders. Now, we will have a challenge in this area if we don't improve the quality of service from the public sector side of things, because the private sector is saying that for the National Health Insurance to work, we have to improve the quality of the service on the side of the public sector. And this is what we are dealing with. And I think going forward, we'll be willing to come and provide further details. Let's move on to the next priority. Energy form. Spatial integration is still a very big challenge. We see a lot of land invasions happening throughout the country. It looks like government has lost control in a number of areas. And we are going to be assisting with the interventions, and that will take the form of ensuring that the National Spatial Development Framework is translated into local areas so that we can bring on board all role players. We are also tracking the rejuvenation of informal settlements. Some work is being done there. We can provide some details on what it is that the departments are doing to ensure that we resolve spatial challenges that we face as a country. Let's move on. Then on social cohesion, it remains a very big challenge. And one of the key indicators here is that we have seen some decline in terms of confidence levels and also the prevailing trust deficit on state institutions, that increasingly many South Africans don't trust state institutions. We are intervening also on our own as a DPME to assist this process. One of the things that we recommended previously, Chair, quickly, was that we need to change the way we celebrate national days so that we don't only get the president to go to the stadium to address those who attend, but we need to come up with other measures to ensure that as many South Africans as possible also observe national days. We've been tracking what is happening with museums across the country, some dilapidated, some in good shape, and we've made recommendations on what needs to be done, including some changes into the curriculum that will allow South Africans to also learn about their own country. Let's move on. Then this is the last priority. This is the priority on the Better Africa and Wealth. This is a very important part, as we recently hosted the BRICS summit. The president currently is attending the G20 summit. We have done a lot of work prior to the hosting of those summits and also our attendance to the G20. DPME has been part of some of the meetings, and currently we are assessing the foreign policy review that was undertaken by DECO, and I think that once we are done with that, we can share some details. So, Chair, there is a lot that we can say in the remaining reports, but I just wanted to pick up on some of the salient issues, given the fact that we only have 40 minutes for everything. Maybe the other issues will be covered in the questions. Thank you.
Okay. No, indeed, your time had expired. I let it go for a few minutes, but I can allow another 10 minutes being the final stage of your presentation. Up to 10 past 10, then you are done.
Okay, Chair, let's then see if we can take the next presentation.
Yes, it's on the screen. Can you see?
Yes, this is citizen-based monitoring, Chair. So this one deals with frontline monitoring. Now, according to DPME, when we talk about frontline monitoring, we are referring to instances where we have to go out on site. So this will differ with the previous report that I've shared by and large, which is based on more research and engagements with departments. But this one focuses on areas that have been visited by the department. Let's move on to... So these are some of the areas we did quite a lot in COVID monitoring and provided reports. We did a lot as well on ideal clinic monitoring. This was very important and is ongoing as it focuses on checking whether the environment is conducive for the implementation of the NHI, as I indicated earlier on. I also mentioned the work that we did on flood disaster monitoring, which I must say that it went beyond monitoring. We were also involved in some coordination work, and we continue to visit GBV sites. Quite a number of them have been visited by the department, and we've engaged with different stakeholders, including international institutions, on how best we can learn from others to deal with the disaster that we're faced with in the country. Let's move on. Yes, we have also been focused on economic recovery in the main, the industrial parks and special economic zones. And Chair, again, here, we don't only monitor, we also attempt some interventions. DM Kekan has also been leading in the monitoring of industrial parks, where we are trying to create some community of practice, you know, so that we can expand lessons learned from one area to other areas. Executive monitoring support is where we support our own principals in facilitating their delegated areas in the district development model. And we want to ensure that we lead by example as DPME, so that we can share best practices with others. Safe schools initiative focus on infrastructure and other safety measures is one of the areas of focus. We have visited quite a number of sites in the different provinces. We also focus on the Khayelitsha informal settlements. Land has been transferred from the province to the city, and relocation plan is being developed. So we'll continue to focus on this area. Next. Then this is another challenge that we're faced with, Chair, that whilst we succeeded in taking the social grants from CPS to SAPO, the South African Post Office, there are still challenges. One can say that we still pay social grants, but the quality of service still face quite a number of challenges, and we can provide some details because we have shared a report on this area, including recommendations on what needs to be done. Let's move on to the next one. Then TVETs, I mentioned them earlier on. We have also been focused on correctional services, and overcrowding is a problem. Our initial focus here was supposed to be the evaluation of the parole system, but we've also been doing work on the infrastructure. We have made recommendations and we take into account that there are money issues involved. 10111 is a problem, Chair. The quality of 10111 is not adequate. We have visited the site. We've made detailed recommendations and asked our minister to engage with the Minister of Police, and that process is ongoing so that we can attend to this. We consider the situation of the 10111 as an emergency, in fact. Then on social protection, we have also been doing quite a lot of work and assisting departments that work in this area. Next. Then I dealt with the local government in passing, that as much as we monitor the monitors, in this particular case, National Treasure and COCTA, we also engage with municipalities on our own as DPME, so that we can draw our own lessons that we compare with the findings of the other two institutions. BRT is a challenge. We have been worried about in this particular area because, for instance, in Rustenburg, 3.3 billion was spent, but there's still no bus in the streets. We made recommendations. And interestingly, the Department of Transport agree with us that we must divert money from infrastructure to the actual service. We also visited Northwest on the rural transport mode, the donkey carts, which we was in the media, but wanted to draw some lessons on whether such kind of interventions can work in rural areas. And we have some detailed report on this. Then on the payment of invoices, it's still a challenge. And here there are two entities that are proving to be a nightmare, and that is the Department of Health and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And DPME itself has been a victim or has been on the receiving end of the failure of public works, where you find that on regular basis, our building doesn't have water or electricity because public works cannot even pay the service providers, the landlords of different state entities. So we have sent a team together with DPSA to intervene at public works chair. So that is ongoing. We will be recommending to cabinet some severe interventions that may be necessary in that particular area. And as I've indicated earlier, we are paying attention to the medico-legal claims in the Department of Health. So a lot of work is being done by us, working with others to help resolve the challenges at health. And let's go to the next slide as I draw to a close. Okay, I've spoken to this. Now, Chair, the question from honorable members would be, if we have challenges in the payments of service providers, what are we going to do? The answer then is that we are going to make this a performance issues of HODs, DGs, and other senior managers so that there is consequence management. And from a DPME point of view, the only tool that we have to do that is performance management so that we can impose penalties on those who don't pay for services. But I think it will go beyond that, as I've indicated, that there are other drastic interventions that are required in terms of public works and the Department of Health. So, Chair, I will conclude on that. Let me just mention the presidential hotline, which is something that we discussed with our portfolio committee last week, that we are doing a lot of work to improve also the presidential hotline so that we can have a direct interface with the citizens. And should it be necessary at some point, we are willing to come to this committee to also share some insights in terms of what we see. It is this coming from the citizens. So that concludes our presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, the DM, for the hopefully well during the presentation, and they've made their notes with regard to the areas of engagement. So what I'm going to do is there any other thing, DM, or should we step off and go to engagement?
No, I think, Chair, through you, we can go to engagement.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Honourable members, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take hands now, and we will offer you at least around 3 minutes, and then we will see where we have a shortcut coming. We will adjust. Can I then take hands?
There's Mlenzana.
Can I note hands?
Yeah, Mlenzana.
Honourable Mlenzana. Yes. Any other hand?
Humphrey Memezi.
Honorable Humphrey. Yes, noted. Any other hand, members? Yes. Don't see here. Okay. Can I note other hands? Right. Let me do this. Can I note any other hands, honorable members? So, fine. So, let me start. Honorable Mlenzana.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, and the apologies for me not showing up the video. The connectivity is very bad. So I will continue without the video, if allowed. Can I continue?
Yes, you may continue, Honorable Minister.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Let me start by appreciating the presentation and welcoming it. Thanking the DM for leading the delegation so well, and the TG for the accurate and accurate presentation. Just three issues. Perhaps let me start from the bottom of my notes before I forget. Should I say Doctor or Mr. Nkuna? I don't want to mess
Nkuna.
Up.
Doctor Nkuna.
Yeah.
Honorable member.
Yeah. Yes, perhaps we failed to congratulate you on our achievements. Dr. Nkuna, you are talking of NHI. and you deliberately glossing over, of course, because of time, I would assume. But unfortunately, after a stage when the Minister of Finance has also in passing alluded to some issue relating to the implementation of NHI vis-a-vis focusing on infrastructure like clinics and hospitals. Are you here and now confirming that you at the level of cabinet or between yourselves as the monitoring and evaluation and treasury have decided to put on hold NHI in favor of yourselves focusing more on infrastructure development in the Department of Health? I'm putting this blunt, Chairperson, so that South Africans can know what is it that is actually being said by the cabinet as far as NHI is concerned. Remember that we have been, whenever debating on the issue of health, talking more on the implementation of NHI. The second one would be, I've been saying this. I said it before at the M when the minister was still Comrade Umondli. I wonder if you guys have what I personally call an impact assessment tool or barometer. Are you able, beyond your percentages that you receive in terms of performance, like let me take an example, for instance, what would be the correlation between the percentage impact and the actual work done? For instance, take the Department of Basic Education. Listening from your presentation, basic education presents 100% performance, but if you go down there where work is done, there is poor or no infrastructure, or there are infrastructure challenges. And also, we always experience spending. They do not spend as they would, as we would wish. And remember, I'm raising this because, Chairperson, I know that at a provincial and local government level, you wouldn't have this Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. And I'm not sure how far is it cascaded down to that level. Because if you ask the Minister of Basic Education, she would tell you that at the level, at national level, we are done, but money is not spent by provinces and all. Hence then, I raise this question. Thanks, Chairperson. I doubt if I have not taken more of your 3 minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Nanzana. Let me, Honorable Humphrey. I'm fine.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to join the Honorable Mlenzana in appreciating the DG and the team led by our Deputy Minister, Kekana. Indeed, their presentation was very informative. I must also say it was also a bit worrying when you hear the issue of medical claims, getting more and more, because one then begins to wonder, is our health system doing what it's supposed to do properly? Why are we now getting more medical claims. So that seems to worry me and indicate that there might be areas that need to be improved there. Then the question is, what does that mean? And what are we doing to ensure the medical claims are really reduced to nil or 1%? Yeah. But that can only be if that system, we do things properly within the legal ways of doing the things that is done there. You see, we all go to medical systems in times of need. So here we need the system to be properly doing what it's supposed to be doing. So that was my biggest worry. Then the second issue, which always worries me, is the department that not spending properly or not spending enough. You see, I'm told it's about 19 that are about above 80%, meaning 20 departments are below 80, which can even go far less with those that are mentioned, your military veterans and public works and our situation in local government. Now, the question there is, what is done? What is the consequence? Is the consequence management effective? Why are we always learning about these things happening repeatedly by same departments if our consequence management is biting? So what then are we considering? Because that would mean our consequence management is really not taken seriously or is not helping us to help the community. Because whatever the departments are doing is to ensure that the people of South Africa are benefiting at the services given by governments. But with these kinds of reports, it tells us the communities are getting a raw deal or are not getting fully what we expect them to get. So the question is then, DG and Deputy Minister, what are we doing? Because if what we were doing for the last 20 or 30 years is not yielding the good results, so definitely we must change and tighten a little bit. So that is the question. What are we doing? Because in my own understanding, failure or lack of spending is a crime when people are so poor, when we are so needy. So I think it's one question that I would not fail to ask, maybe to give other honorable members opportunity. But it's always important to check, because about the main reason for underspending by some department, what are they saying? What are they identifying as the main reason for them not to spend what is given? And when they give these reasons, what are the measures? Because It is department that come out with the targets, having considered what they have. Now, when they fail to achieve their own targets, what are the consequence management? Again, I think my main input is on consequence management, even on targets, because we put targets for a reason. But department must also find ways and means of achieving the targets than finding ways and means of dodging or of justifying why they could not spend. They rather find ways and means of spending than create justification. So I think, Chair, let me give other honorable members opportunity to ask other questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable. May you please come in? Honorable Changwin.
Thanks very much, Chair. On the point of, I want to agree with the Honorable Lenzana in terms of basic education, where we see there's 100% of achieving the targets. I think it would be prudent if we can also see what type of targets are this and which targets have been met, because numerous occasions we are having basic education of some of the repeat offenders in terms of underspending their budgets, and money are being sent back to National Treasury. And at times it's from your poorest of provinces, like the Eastern Cape, you know, that money are getting not being spent, and they are being sent back to National Treasury and being rediverted to other provinces. So I really need to, we need to emphasize and check in terms of what are these achievements that have been met in terms of the 100% meeting of targets of basic education, so that we don't sit with a situation where when we come at the end of the year, and then money are being sent back to National Treasury. And then I want to take on a chair on the unpaid invoices. It's still a huge problem in many of these departments. So I would like to know, what is the Department of DPE doing in terms of that, to see to it that we don't have a situation of unpaid invoices? Because you have in some instances that companies have to actually pay officials to pay the invoices. So what mechanisms have you put in place to help departments in seeing that invoices are paid on time? I think it's not enough as your department to just come and report to us the problem. You must be also having or a solution driven approach as a department to see to it that we don't have situations like this of unpaid invoices that are still in this term a problem, regardless of other previous mechanisms that have been put in place to solve this issue. It's still a huge issue. I agree with you, Doctor, in terms of the research of the national days. I think the national days no longer have the meaningful impact that it used to have. And the approach to just put people in a stadium, it's really not working anymore. Our communities are no longer having that feel for our national days and national holidays that needs to be commemorated as a nation. And if we are losing that background as young people or as our communities, effectively as we are losing ourselves, especially as African people. So I think more emphasis needs to be done in terms of re-looking at approach of having national days just celebrated in stadiums, which at most of the time are just becoming an ANC rally and not speaking to real issues that are affecting our communities. And communities stays away because it becomes no longer what a day needs to be. It becomes an ANC rally or a day to campaign for the ruling party. Lastly, on the jobs, totally agree. We need to have much more sustainable jobs. In order to just say we have created 300 jobs. Jobs in like how? Which sector? Long? Is it long term? Is it short term? And what type of contribution or will it give to those individuals that are having those jobs? Because most of these departments will say we have created 300 jobs, and then it's jobs for 3 months, and then we are having people that are going back again and being unemployed yet again. So we need to have much more meaningful jobs and sustainable jobs, as that matter, that pays our communities decent salaries. I think I'll stop there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ntangin. Honorable members, let me take a quick second round to members who still have to raise some questions before I can hand over to the Deputy Minister and the team to respond on the questions. Can I check, Honorable Lenzen?
Not a person. I am fine for now. Perhaps if one can get responses and see if they would follow up.
Okay. Honorable Humphrey?
Are you coming? I'm okay, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Natasha?
I'm good, Chair. Thank you so much.
Okay. Now, maybe just before I give over to the minister and the team, let me just throw some few of the issues that I picked up as the presentation has been made. I think, I want to agree with the honorable members around the issue of, especially which were said by Honorable Nunez and Honorable Tagin around the issue of measurement of performance target. I think that that method, perhaps the monitoring and evaluation, need to look at that very closely, because what is of interest here is a measurement of impact. Yes, target might be achieved, but as to whether that has now turned into a quality is a different story. That perhaps needs definitely that method that is being used by department does not really give us a very clear picture whether do we have quality work produced when you at that time measuring that, or we're only mathematically looking at the targets. It's a different story. So I think yes, I agree with monitoring and evaluation that one has to be altered altogether. So to give the committee a very clear picture as to what target means in terms of impact. On the DMRE, I see there's only, for instance, 394 job opportunities with regard to issuing mining rights, and that is far too low, below number that we can talk about, given the situation that is shaping around the issue of Zama, artisan mining, illegal mining that try to occupy that space because of the difficulty in as far as fast-tracking the process of issuing of mining rights. Yes, the issue on capacity of state, it is a problem that the monitoring and evaluation department picks up, because if you remove if there's dysfunctionality of municipalities and municipalities in financial distress, remember the local government is very central to the people's power, on the ground. So if that sphere of the government can be rendered dysfunctional in as far as performance of municipalities, and experience of financial distress, really it's on the fiber of building a ethical and developmental state capacity. Hopefully, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation will also make serious inroads in as far as monitoring and from time to time coming up with a very specific intervention as to how a way forward should be made with regard to that. And we are happy that we've been able to pick up that there hasn't been a real cooperation between, proper coordination between and national treasury in that space. It's very critical. Now, on the, I don't know how the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation has made its own assessment in as far as how fiscal constraints, can have impact on service delivery. As you currently have noticed a number of developments, or what it had over a period under review. What is your assessment in as far as that is concerned? I mean, as a monitoring and evaluation. Minister, on the issue of military veterans, the challenge or the challenges in the department seems to be huge. I'm reading on the report that has been presented that only one achievement has been made. It's very a serious problem to can understand. I don't know what the department has observed or what actually needs to be done in as far as that department to move. Perhaps you might have made a detailed observation in as far as that is concerned, because if a department can only achieve one thing, it's like you did not need that department. So perhaps there is something that the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation could tell us, this committee, to understand what is one achievement mean or is equal to. So let me pause at this stage and allow the minister and the team to give response to the questions that have been asked.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and members of the committee. Hello?
Yes, we may proceed, Minister.
Yes. I'll be giving over to the DG and the team to lead on some of the responses. But just on the issue of NHI versus infrastructure rollout. I think the Minister of Finance is very clear that the issue of NHI is not negotiable. I think that's what he said even in his response when he was asked yesterday. So from where we stand, the commitment on NHI stands. But the reality that we also see is that many of our hospitals, as we do frontline monitoring, there are challenges of not geysers. I don't know what these things are called that warm up the water and all other things, boilers and other related things. Houghton, for instance, as an example, many of their boilers are outdated. They are not. They have lived their sell-by date, and that's one of the things myself and MEC Lebohammaile and the MEC of Health are looking at. Of course, we work with Deputy Minister Bongiseni Promo, because we go as Deputy Minister on infrastructure or any other program that we want to do frontline monitoring with. We go as a team of more than 10 DMs for every one of us to look at how do we respond on certain things and guide on ticking time bombs to ministers and then make sure that there are certain interventions that are done. That has also helped us because in itself, it brings in the district development module closer, where national departments, provincial departments, and the local government come together and say, comprehensively, how do we deal with service delivery to this particular district? Who brings what, when? And we do those commitments, and the following year, we go report back and monitor. We have done it last year at Mzimkulu. This year, last week, we're in Mzimkulu, giving feedback, but also not going there empty-handed, rolling out RDP houses, agriculture bringing this, social government, social department bringing this, forestry planting trees and so on. So when we leave that area, every one of us shall have done this thing. So that's how impactful our outreach is. Now we have picked up at Mzimkulu because the Deputy Minister of Comms was not there. We are also saying there's network programs in this area. DM, take all your entities from broadband infraco to Centec and everybody and talk to ICASA, to talk to MTN and everybody so that you then deal with that thing. And by the time we withdraw from Zimbabwe and go to the next municipality, we know we have dealt with issues, lock, stock, and barrel. I want to say to members of the portfolio committee, in every province, in the Premier's office, there is a unit that deals with monitoring and evaluation. So we interlink with those units of Premier's and empower them on how we deal with certain things so that they too can complement us across the provinces, because we may not be able to touch every municipality on monitoring and evaluation. Yesterday, myself and Ms. Prem Chwete happened to meet with the Minister Thandi Modise on the issue of military veterans. So she's saying she's going to make an appointment that ourselves, DM Makweta, and the minister, we meet and look at the issue of military veterans comprehensively. So there's work in progress. Once that is agreed on, then we'll push. Can you allow Dr. Nkuna to lead on some of these things? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, DM. Thank you, Chair and members and colleagues, once again. I'll deal with a few issues and ask Dr. Thabo Mabogwane later to talk about the questions related to education, and Dr. Grisel to deal with other issues related to the Q1 performance results. The answer has been provided on the NHI that government has not changed its position. What we have been doing as a DPME, we focus on two issues. One is this assessment of the state of readiness of government institutions, particularly the health sectors across the country. So we'll continue to do that work. It's very important for us so that we can even assure the private sector that we have what it takes as government to implement the NHI. So that is the first part of our work. The second part relates to what we've been doing recently. We got Treasury, DPSA, SAPS, Health to meet so that we resolve some of the outstanding issues internal within a government, because we observed that whilst the focus has been on the bill, there may be some kind of coordination issues that need to happen internally. For instance, SAPS need to be brought on board and so that we can define how PolMed is going to be integrated into the NHI when it happens. The DPSA still has a lot of work to do to prepare for the NHI, which entails engagement with the unions. Treasury also, in terms of the capacity of the NHI team, because currently you have no more than 10 people who are driving the NHI within the Department of Health, and we are trying to explore other ways of ensuring that that part of our work is capacitated. So we are still involved with it. We have not been issued with any instruction that the NHI is not going ahead. On impact assessment, we do impact assessment through different ways and also rely on what others do. For instance, of late, we've been relying on the work of GCIS, which does a lot of work in terms of the views of the citizens. Even as we work on the 30-year review of democracy, of democratic South Africa, we have engaged with GCIS and said to GCIS that DPME will do the most comprehensive report, but we are asking GCIS to deal with citizen-facing kind of questions and assessments, so that when we present the report at the end of this year, the report must also include the views of the citizens. So due to limited resources, we also have to collaborate and cooperate with some of the state entities that can do this work. And in this particular case, GCIS always come in doing some of these issues. We'd love to do it on our own, but resources are not always available. Dr. Grissel will also comment on the kind of institutions that we have created to ensure effective coordination with the provinces. So there are a number of planning institutions or platforms that have been created by us to ensure that we also integrate the provinces. She also indicated that we do look into the APPs of the provinces as well. So the whole performance management system also includes what the provinces are doing, and they prefer to work on the basis of what we are doing and apply the guidelines that have been issued by DDG, by DPME. So DDG Grissel will comment on that. I'm sorry. Then on local government chair, this is a very serious issue that confront us. And although our report was brief, what we've been trying to convey is that we are seriously concerned as DPME. And we have changed course so that we can go back to why is it that all interventions that have been introduced since the beginning of time have not turned around municipalities in many instances. So this is our preoccupation, and I indicated that we have had a detailed engagement with the Municipal Demarcation Board. We're doing an assessment on the extent to which demarcation itself influences what we have seen on the ground. We are going to review the proposal that's coming from SALGA on the need to change the funding system for local government. So there are many other things that we are doing, and I think one would prefer a comprehensive report on local government, because this is an issue that will be with us for a long period of time. Now, quickly on what Honorable Memezi has raised on the medical claims, in addition to what DMS said, what we have seen there is that there is poor filing system. So there is corruption by and large, but that corruption is enabled by a poor filing system, in the sense that you find that when the state has to defend particular cases. It doesn't even have evidence because the files would have been stolen by people who work in the different health centers. We saw this when we went to Dorangiza in Nelson Mandela Bay, where you find that we still use a manual filing system. So when that persists, Chair, you have a problem because people steal the files and we can't defend cases. But there are also issues of infrastructure that give rise to this problem. What we saw again in Nelson Mandela Bay is that you have a maternity ward at Dorangiza that is overcrowded. But when you go to the other hospitals in that area, in that complex, you find that the hospitals have fewer people. You can accommodate more maternity patients. But that does not happen because of the way government has categorized the different hospitals. They will tell you that this is not for this, this is not for that, even when there is space to be utilized. So I want to use this particular experience to say that let's come with a South African unique model that will respond to our own realities and not copy approaches from different areas. Now, in terms of consequence management for poor performance, I indicated that for lack of any other instrument, the only instrument at the disposal of DPME is performance management, where we can put HODs to terms and say to them that payment to service deliver to service providers and spending overall constitute part of the assessment of key management officials across a government. So we need to do that. We need to strengthen that. Now, there was a view that we need to expedite the integrated planning bid so that a DPME can also have a teeth and does not rely on sending recommendations, but without not being able to enforce consequence management. So for now, in the absence of that legislative instrument, the best that DPME can do is to use performance management, which is a tool that we have. So we are equally concerned about poor spending and the failure to pay service providers, but we rely on the tools that we have. And also National Treasurer comes to the party. The Auditor General also does something about this issue. But I think government can do a lot more if an institution like DPME had some teeth to do much more than just the performance management system. I will ask Dr. Thabo Mokgwane to speak about the education-related questions, and Dr. Grissel will then deal with the issues that I've referred to. Dr. Mokgwane?
Thank you, DG, and thanks to the chair, and good morning to the honorable members. Yes, the issues that were raised are actually well spotted around the issue of impact. And I wish to bring attention that we don't only monitor the outputs of departments, but we also, the way DPME is also organized is to be concerned around issues of impact and outcome. So in education, for example, we have the targets that are low order targets around outputs, but we also have impact indicators that we track. And these are the ones that actually we didn't have enough time to talk around. So for example, we look at the quality of the product of the products that go out of your basic education system, and also your post-school education system. So it's not just that students pass matric, but we look at whether the percentage of those who pass above 60% in maths and science as a proxy for issues or are dealing with issues of quality. Similarly, we look at the number of students who pass at bachelor level. We look at issues around efficiency to say how long does it take for a young to gain metric of them don't reach grade 12. So in that way we are concerned with issues of impact, and we do report around impact. Then there is the issue that was raised on issues of the expenditure, that yes, we've been also engaging with DBE around why money gets returned, especially around issues of infrastructure. And what has been emerging is that what Dr. Nkuna talked about, that if other departments don't do their work very well, that has a spillover on other departments. So Public Works unable to build schools, DBE ended up now taking that responsibility when it's not their core function. And they've had to set up systems to monitor contracts, which is not what they are talented in. And we've been trying now to encourage them that they be able to focus more on ensuring that they have contract management skills and their monitoring becomes much, much more effective. And then on that 100% issue, it's around issues of quarter one. And I believe Dr. Grizel will be able to explain that it is what is happening in quarter one. It is not that the impact of the whole system, that it is performing at 100%. We believe as DPME in our reports that we show that there is some scope for improvement, and they are not operating at the level that we would like them to operate. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Chair, with your permission, Dr. Grisel, to wrap up.
All right, thank you very much. Just to touch on, I just want to step back briefly that DPME, because, you know, the issue of impact planning, outcome planning, development planning, DPME is the custodian of the overall country planning system, which includes short, medium, and long-term planning. So we have the NDP is the long-term plan, the MTSF is the current medium-term development plan, but we also have national, provincial, and local plans, as well as the District Development Model 1 plans, which are supposed to be plans of all of government, all of society in a particular locality. And then we, of course, have the sector plans and so on. So it's a system that operates. Now, the system is supposed to be geared towards the achievement of the development results that are outlined in the NDP, including issues around poverty, inequality, and unemployment. So everything we do is supposed to contribute towards a decline in poverty, decline in unemployment, an inclusive economy, et cetera, et cetera. But now we find that when it comes to the institutions, the national provincial departments, the public entities, and all of that, they have decision-making. They're the ministers, the executive authorities there, are the ones that sign off on their APPs. We do extensive work as DPME to be proactive in terms of indicating what the priority should be that different departments should be including in their APPs. But just to also say that APPs are, because it's just a short time frame, what you can achieve in a year, it would generally be at the level of outputs and interventions. So for example, we know that to stay on the example of education, so for example, there would be an output around the issue of decent sanitation, schools with decent sanitation facilities. That's an output which should, it's based on a theory of change that you're not going to get excellent education outcomes when children do not have safe and appropriate sanitation facilities. So I'm just using that as an example. So the Department of Basic Education would report on their target around the number of schools provided with sanitation facilities, and then that would, in the medium term, should contribute towards better education outcomes, as Dr. Mabukhwani has indicated. But the issue of improving the quality of APPs as the annual plans is a fairly complex matter, and we are constantly working with departments around that. In the current, as I was saying earlier, for 2024-25, we have issued, the DG has issued a circular to departments to say, when you are doing your APPs, you should be including the following. So that even within the decision making of the DGs, the accounting officers, and the executive authorities, DPME is providing guidance to that. We have also been doing presentations to the provincial planning forums. We've already done 4 provinces, and that would include all the planning officials from the different provincial departments, and same with the national departments, where we are being proactive to provide guidance. We also, the issue of alignment of plans and budgets is a critical issue, because we know that we can have policy priorities and goals. Unless the resources follow, then we will not achieve, it will undercut our ability to achieve those. So we have developed the budget prioritization framework for 2024. It's an annual budget prioritization framework that is consulted widely. We have presented it to the FOSAD workshop, as well as within the budget process that is led by Treasury, the budget function groups, as well as the MTEC process, which is currently underway, in order to influence the budget allocations and so on. The question, DG asked me to also speak briefly about the institutional arrangements with provinces. We have what we call the National Steering Committee for Integrated Planning, which includes chaired by DPME, together with other center of government departments at a national level, Treasury, DPSA, DALROD, DCOG, and so on, together with the Premier's offices, the planning and policy officials who are normally at a DDG level. And that is a very important platform for engagement, for consultation. So even our planning policy framework, which was adopted by Cabinet in September last year, we consulted widely with the provinces. The legislation, the Development Planning Framework Bill that the DG mentioned earlier, was consulted there. But provinces also shared their own best practice. So, for example, we've had an assessment in that forum on issues around the experience of the lessons with regard to the one plans, the district development model, and so on. So that's a very important forum. And then at times we then combine it with the National Technical Planning Forum and the Planning Community of Practice. So there's quite wide, which is, that's hundreds of planning officials that we are influencing and attempting to provide strategic guidance to. Then the question of the fiscal constraints. I think there's no doubt that the fiscal constraints do have an impact on the achievement of results. And, I think we've seen and I think if you analyze what is currently happening, and I've seen this, this has been discussed in different forums, is that we now have a situation where we have a compounding crisis. So we have, let's say, a crisis on in the fiscus, which is then reducing our ability, for example, to even more effectively address the crises that we find, for example, with regard to the electricity supply. So what does that mean in that context? We need to better prioritize. We feel that, and Treasury agrees with us, and at a departmental level, but also at the level of the multiple public entities that we have, that there is a lot of room still for improving efficiencies, but not just improving efficiencies, improving the impact of expenditure. Because we still have a situation there where, we will undertake interventions, we will undertake activities but they will not achieve the results that we are trying to achieve. So that issue of, you know, we are advocating results-based planning through the APPs and other planning instruments, but also results-based budgeting. So, for example, we are saying, let's look at the different public employment programs, the presidential employment stimulus, which has reached over 1 million people, the CWP, the EPWP. Let's look at them and compare, for example, the cost per job. But also issues such as the percentage spend on administration of those programs versus the income that goes directly to participants. So, you know, that's the kind of work that also needs to be done increasingly. There's also, you know, examples of, we have, because of our, you know, program one in many, many institutions, there's a very high compliance burden, which means that many institutions have huge number of personnel in program one, which is, you know, focusing on financial management, procurement, human resource management, et cetera. And that often also crowds out the expenditure on personnel for core functions. So there are different options being looked at there, including, for example, shared services models, different options around that, you know, reconfiguring the state and so on. So that's important in the context of fiscal constraints. And I think you would have seen the Sunday Times article this past Sunday, which spoke to those issues of restructuring. The point about the extent to which we are creating decent work, I think that the conceptualization of public employment programs by government is one that says that we are providing public employment programs almost as part of the safety net to be able to provide income opportunities, but also at the same time contribute towards outcomes in a particular sector. So, for example, the classroom monitors, which is part of the PES, part of the Department of Basic Education, have indeed, they are getting incomes. These are not regarded as decent work. This is not regarded as decent work or sustainable work, but this provides a short-term income. But it's also the idea behind the public employment programs, and we have been discussing this with the different public employment programs, is to say that not only should they be providing short-term opportunities, provide skills training, but also facilitate entry of those participants into more sustainable employment and work opportunities through experience. But ultimately, if we want to create decent work, we need to get the economy working more effectively. And of course, there are, you know, many, many interventions around that, whether it be electricity, the energy, electricity issues, which is having a critical negative impact on the economy, or fixing Transnet so that we can get our minerals and other goods to fixing the ports, et cetera, et cetera. But also interventions such as master plans, so that we actually also, and public procurement we spoke about, because our aim is to shift economic ownership patterns in the economy. That's really, you know, the aim of this government, as everybody would know. Chair, DG and DM Chair, I think I've covered a number of the issues that have been raised around planning. Thank you. The issue of the achievement of quarter one of DBE, we can, you know, share the actual details around that. But I think Dr. Mabukhwane has also spoken to that. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Dr. Nkuna and the team. Perhaps just before I let you go, Minister, I just want to get these two areas just quickly. You indicated that in your conclusion that fiscal constraints will impact on the achievement of targets. Have you assessed what the broader impact will be on poverty, unemployment, and inequality? And secondly, what do you do with some of the frontline and support information you obtain, such as challenges of SASA and SAPO payments of grants you have identified in KZN and Free State and the Eastern Cape. How often do you revisit these places to assess whether there are improvements?
If I can start on the two issues. On the fiscal matters, the most recent being the reported letter from Treasury asking departments to cut down on expenditure, which includes infrastructure as well as some appointments. Our view has been that we must not use one size fits all, because that's usually a challenge when you are faced with fiscal challenges. Interventions are always that you cut across the board. And our preference is that we go through issue by issue, department by department, program by program, because these issues are not always the same, you know. So we are looking forward to engage with National Treasury on that. We have been asking for bilaterals, but we also have a platform through MTech where we raise our views that there should be some kind of consensus in terms of the implications of the cuts. One thing that we will prioritize or advance is that the president has signed agreements, performance agreements with the ministers, which need to be prioritized for the remainder of the current financial year. So it would be unfortunate if the president signs agreements with the executive, and on the other hand, we cut the budgets on the same priorities. So this is a matter that we assist with as a DPME, trying to use the different platforms that we can access to engage with Treasury on that. So Chair, on the larger scale, the question is always about the relationship between the planning and the budgeting function of government, and as to who caused the shots between the two. So this is an ongoing matter, but on our side, we have presented the budget prioritization framework. We do this on annual basis, as Dr. Grissel has indicated, so that we can help assist the process to ensure that there is alignment between budgeting and planning in government. But I think it's an ongoing issue that will need to be fully resolved over time. Thank you, Chair. I think I've dealt with your issues.
Well, thank you very much. The team DPME led by the Deputy Minister Kekana. Do you have parting shots?
Thank you very much, Chair. We take counsel from what the members of the portfolio committee of the standing committee have said on a number of things. And I think the approach on impact is what we are currently dealing with. And then we'll come back to you comprehensively on showing you how we have integrated through DDM the one plan and how we would want to see impact across the board in all these things, because statistics on them on their own, like members are saying, it's not enough. Are we impacting? Are we changing lives of our people? Why still this inequality when government is dispatching or appropriating over a trillion rand? So those are the things that we assist with. And we'll come back to SCOA at some point just to deal with those. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister and your team from monitoring and evaluation. We really appreciate your presence and in responding to our request that you attend this meeting where we have invited you. And we want to also appreciate your presentation and information that has been given to this committee, which will use it proficiently to, you know, maximize the impacts of the of the department itself. So feel free also to submit any other additional information to this interaction of today. If you feel that you still need to supply, it's good. We'll appreciate that in your response to the questions that honorable members of the committee have asked. So we really appreciate that. Like I've said during the opening, that it has been quite a long time that we have not been able to interact with the department, but now we are happy that we have now started to do work earnestly with the department to fast-track the impact of the implementation of critical resolution, strategic critical decisions which have been taken to realize the impact of the budget on the ground through the implementation of various departmental strategic plans, whether there is an impact or not. So one of the things that what needs to be taken very serious is the issue also that we picked up in as far as social cohesion is concerned, which might be an indictment on us, that the decline of the confidence on the state institution is quite some worrisome. That definitely there's during these few months, definitely there has to be an increase in as far as fast tracking that. Although I know there are it's an uphill. It needs a lot of effort to do, but it is necessary, as this will eat on the confidence on the state by the people. So, which is something that we need to avoid at all costs and seek remedial measures to, to address that. So it's really, like I'm saying, it will be an indictment on us if we cannot improve on that level and encourage the state departments to really look at whatever that is bothering them to address that gradually. So with those few words, let me thank you on behalf of the community, and you are welcome to be to stay with us. And releasing those who are willing to leave. We are not discussing secrets. We are going to take the. You are released those who. So, Mr. Maubani?
Yes, Chair. The next item
Yes, can we then proceed to the next item, which is the minutes of the 5th September, am I correct?
Yes, you are right, Chair. Yes.
Honorable members, minutes of the 5th of September have been distributed. Can I get adoption of the minutes? Honorable Humphrey, can I get the seconder?
Lenzana.
So minutes of the Honorable Lenzana seconded. Minutes of the 5th of September have been moved and adopted. Can I check with you, Mr. Maubani, are there any announcements to make? Mr. Mashila?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Announcement?
Yeah. I'm saying we received an apology. Yes. This is for record.
So what is the announcement?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Proceed.
Yeah, we received an apology from the minister today when the meeting had already started, although the deputy minister has covered that she's not able to come in here. But we did on record, we have received that apology from the minister. The second one, we received an apology from the officials, our colleagues in the administration. Our content advisor, Mr. Magagula Sfiso, has not been able to join us because of load shedding hassles, as well as Mr. Jabulani Majosi from the communications. The last one is about the next meeting, which will be on Tuesday next week, the 19th. We are meeting with the DPWI, the National Treasury, and the SANDF as a program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. This then brings us to the end of our meeting. So the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair.
Where's Natasha? Natasha, where are you?
I'm here.
Chair.
Natasha, you must stop this thing of talking about ANC rally.
We are born again. We are
born again. She's an ANC member, this one.
I thought, yes. Okay, we'll never be.